Kate, could you come up?
I know you've got no idea. I've got, it's not a bad thing, but you're on the front row. I've got some things for you, Kate. Just got some presents for you. So here's the first one. Perhaps you can tell us who it's from.
Oh, we've loved from Tim Sparks. Not my Tim.
Okay, no. Do you want to open it then? Fairly briefly. Have a microphone.
Okay, it's a poster about Transformers.
Okay.
Sunday children at HBC.
Okay. Now, this is lovely, isn't it? Because Tim Sparks brings a gift with him to church, which is he invests some of his pretty precious time, actually, into supporting your kids. Isn't that great? And helping them
great.
To grow in Christ, right? So that's the first present. So, thank you.
Thank you.
Take it away.
Or not.
No, I take presents away here, as you know. Here's the next present.
Oh, wow. So, this is from the preaching team.
Oh. Ooh. Thank you. Is someone in there?
Ah. What is that?
It's a digital voice recorder. Hang on.
Oh, of course.
We do have a little, let's see.
Morning is entitled Maturing Together from Ephesians 4, verse 15 to 16.
Okay.
We will see how...
I'll stop it there, shall I? I'm sorry it's my voice. There was no other members of the preaching team in my study on Friday afternoon. So, now that's a good gift, isn't it? If it helps you to focus on Christ, to grow in him, it's a good gift to receive, isn't it?
It is a good gift, yeah.
Right, now, there's one... there's one more gift. You need to be a bit careful with this one.
Is it an animal?
No, but it's just keep it level. So who's that from?
From Anne, I can never say her surname.
Isinger, right. So what's inside there?
Ooh.
It's cold.
It's lukewarm.
Okay.
It's a beautiful cup of coffee.
Okay, a quality cup of coffee. Yeah. That's a pretty nice gift to receive, isn't it?
Yeah, so, I'll have that one.
You can keep it. It has been in a box for an hour. Yeah. And. Just to reassure you all, it's not real coffee, it's decaf, okay? So we didn't waste any real coffee in this, so there we go. Well, okay, you've received some pretty nice gifts there. Do you have a gift to give us? How about you shake my hand? Thank you. You're welcoming me to the church.
Oh, welcome.
I don't know if you're on the welcoming team, but we're all on the welcoming team, so... Thank you for welcoming me
welcome,
to the church.
Welcome.
Thank you.
Would you like to preach for us?
Yeah, thank you. Thank you, Kate. You can sit down now. Thank you. Sorry. We would be a pretty popular church, wouldn't we, if as people walked in, we had people lined up with gifts to give them, lovely presents, shinily wrapped with bows and everything. We'd be extremely popular. But when you think about it, that is exactly what happens here. When we walked in today, we received a gift of service from the steward, didn't we? Who prepared this room for us so that we could just come in and be comfortable. We received a gift from the welcomer who shook our hand. We received a gift from the musicians with their fabulous musicianship who led us in worship and helped us to touch God and meet with him. We received a gift from our service leader who steered us through the service in a way, in a structured way, so we all knew where we were going. Received a gift, I hope, from the preacher who helped us to understand something of God's word and be nourished by it and fed by it. We received a gift from the prayer ministry team who sit over here after the service, who have stood by us on those Sundays when we come feeling with very heavy hearts. We receive a gift from our data projectionist who helps us to see. By the way, we know the screens flicker. Chris is working very hard to fix that. We're trying to track down the issue, but we will get there. We receive a gift from our sound operator who helps us to hear. We receive a gift from our servers who serve us with the drink that we so compellingly feel a need for. We receive a gift from the various people scattered through the building right now who are ministering to our children and helping them to grow in Christ? We do. We receive an armful of gifts when we come to church. And the question I want to bring this morning is, what is your gift? And what is the thing that you have to bring? We all come with a gift to church. I won't pick that one up. We all come with a gift to church because God has given every one of us a gift of service. It's just, what do we do with it? Or do we take it home and bring it back the next week and take it home? Oh, could I have the PowerPoint? Thanks, Alex. So, hello. So we're on maturing. Oh. Roads in India, I think. Maturing Together is our title for today. It'll come up in a moment. Right, are we on? I don't seem to be able to control it, Alex. Can you forward it for me? I've got a reading which I'd quite like to be able to see. Yes, next one. Right, good. I hope you can read that. I'm going to read it to you anyway. So this is our text for today, and I'm starting slightly earlier than the two verses we have. So Christ himself gave the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, the pastors and teachers to equip his people for works of service so that the body of Christ may be built up until we all reach unity in the faith and in the knowledge of the Son of God and become mature, attaining to the whole measure of the fullness of Christ. Then we will no longer be infants tossed back and forth by the waves and blown here and there by every wind of teaching and by the cunning and craftiness of people in their deceitful scheming. Instead, speaking the truth in love, we will grow to become in every respect the mature body of him who is the head, that is Christ. From him, the whole body, joined and held together by every supporting ligament, grows and builds itself up in love as each part does its work. This passage begins with a list of people. The apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, the pastors, and the teachers. These are gifts to the church. Why has God given us these people gifts in this way? Is it so they can do everything? No, I'm not going to crack the joke about being a one-man band and all that. God has not, but I did. God has not given us people to do all the work. It's very clear here that their roles are to equip God's people for works of service so that the body might mature. That's how the body matures, when people, us, we are equipped for works of service. We use gifts God's given us to serve the body, to do our part in the body, as it says there, as each part does its work. That's why we come here in part. We come as people who come ready to serve. I think the clue's in the name, service. We've come to a service. We've come to receive service, but we also come to offer service. How was the service this morning? Well, how was the serving? That's the question, isn't it? How was your serving? I think that's what it boils down to. Verse 16 here, it says that we are the body of Christ. I've asked this question before. Is Jesus with us now? And the answer is yes and no, isn't it? Yes, he's with us by the Spirit. But in an equally important way, he's not with us now, because he's risen and he's ascended and he's seated at the right hand of the Father, building the kingdom. So Christ is in heaven today. Where is he in the earth? He is in this world through us. You remember that expression, Christian, began as an insult, a pejorative term, because it meant little Christ. Oh, you're a little Christ. And yet, what a wonderful, fabulous description for us. We are to be as Christ to this world. We're his body. What a terrifying and yet wonderful prospect. Last week, Janet preached for us from this same chapter, but the earlier verses, and she mentioned there very clearly that we are one body. And on Thursday, James and I were at a minister's prayer breakfast, weren't we? There were 10 ministers there, but they represented 8 different churches. We had Vineyard, St. Andrew's Linton Road, HBC, Magdalen Road, Woodstock Road Baptist, Cornerstone, Emmanuel, and OCC. And it was really thrilling to have that breadth of church there. And one of the ministers read the exact verses for today's sermon, which was very exciting for me. Very exciting to hear it read in that context where you've got a range of churches represented. And it just reminded me that we come to this church as individuals, but we are stronger as a body than we are individually. And this church is stronger when it is alongside the other churches in this city than when it's on its own, when we become a citywide body of Christ. And the churches of this nation are stronger when they're in fellowship with churches around the world, when we are the worldwide body of Christ. The point is, we're one body. That's what God has called us to. Now, of course, most of the time, our experience of being the body will be very local. It will find its primary sort of meaning for us in what happens here, in this specific expression that we call HBC. So how do we find our place? How can we be effective and fit for purpose so that the body can, as these words say, grow to maturity? Our bodies let us down sometimes, don't they? And often it's the smallest things that really trip us up. Recently, I've had pain in my right knee. I spoke to my doctor on the phone about it, and she diagnosed it for me as a condition that's known as clergyman's knee. I believe it's also called housemaid's knee, and it's got a few other names. But basically, it's common amongst those who spend a lot of time on their knees. Thank you. James, are you all right? Are your knees all right? Now, I really wish I could stop that illustration there, but I can't, because on the phone, she knows I'm a minister, and so she was understandably sheepish when she said, "Do you spend a lot of time kneeling?" And I had to say, "Well, I don't, actually." But I realized the implication of that, so I quickly said, "I do pray, by the way, but I tend to pray standing up, which I do, or walking around." And she said to me, "Well, it doesn't really matter what position you pray from, does it?" Which was very good. But that affected the whole of my body. But also, sorry, I'm not going to cover the whole of my anatomy, but also I had a problem recently on my left knee. I'm not a great runner, but I am a regular runner. And whilst running, I damaged my... Where is it? Can you forward that slide for me, Alex? There we are. Hope you're not squeamish. I damaged my medial collateral ligament, which is about to appear on the right-hand side of the screen, sir. And now, I understand from my internet research that this is just one of 900 ligaments in the body. But this one stopped me running. In fact, it stopped me walking almost. I was limping, and because I couldn't run and I couldn't really walk very well, my health went downhill and my fitness suffered. What does a ligament do? Well, it joins bone to bone, doesn't it? It connects, it gives support to the body. I presume if you removed all our ligaments that we'd probably fall down. Or if we didn't fall down, we'd fall down the minute we took a step. Here's, next slide please, Alex. Sorry, we're having trouble with this today. Verse 16, from him, the whole body, joined and held together by every supporting ligament, grows and builds itself up in love as each part does its work. You know, that's the image that's used here. We are those supporting ligaments in the body. We give it strength. We give it stability. We give it integrity. We help it to function. You know, I had 899 other ligaments in my body that were working perfectly, but none of them could take the place of my medial collateral ligament. And as a result, I suffered. I didn't even know I had one until it went wrong. And that's why it's so important, isn't it, that we recognize what God's calling is for us in the body. I can say this with confidence. We all have a calling to serve God, and we serve in his body in some way or other. None of us are the head. Christ is the head. Some of us might like to think we're the neck that turns the head, but we're not. But we are called into this body. And it doesn't matter what we do. It doesn't matter if the role is up front or if the role is behind the scenes. You know, God values things very differently to us. I think we'll find that out in heaven when God gives out rewards. I really do. But wherever God's called us, that is where we should be working. Alex, please. We have here in 1 Corinthians 12. Now, if the foot should say, because I'm not a hand, I do not belong to the body, it would not for that reason stop being part of the body. If the ear should say, because I'm not an eye, I do not belong to the body, it would not for that reason stop being part of the body. If the whole body were an eye, where would the sense of hearing be? If the whole body were an ear, where would the sense of smell be? But in fact, God has placed the parts in the body, every one of them, just as he wanted them to be. If they're all one part, where would the body be? As it is, there are many parts, but one body. So we all have a part to play, okay? We all have a role, without exception. Now, it's not though just about what we do, it's about why we do it. It's about our motivation for service. What motivates you? If you are serving Christ in some way or other, here or elsewhere, what motivates you for that service? And I've been thinking about this week. I've been thinking about, why do I preach, okay? And I thought, is it about the money? Well, I do get paid for being a minister. Actually, I get paid to facilitate me to be a minister, actually. But I preached for 7 years in this church before I became one of the ministers alongside James. So I can safely say it's not about the money. Do I do it because it's fun? Well, I can assure you preaching is not fun. It's thrilling, but it's not fun. And I've often likened writing a sermon to the process of giving birth, which goes to show I've never given birth. But I would not describe it fun, okay? Do I do it to boost my self-esteem? To build my self-worth? To massage my ego? Because it's a thrill to be stood in front of people talking. And I think that was more of an issue for me. I remember in my 20s especially, you know, there was a bit of a mixed motive at times. It was thrilling to be in front of people and all that sort of thing. I've realized as I've got older that preaching can lower your self-esteem as well, depending on what happens. I think sometimes we do serve, whether it's preaching or whatever it is, we might wrestle with our motives a bit. Sometimes if our motives are wrong, they will damage us. Sometimes they will damage the entire body. Sometimes God uses us even with mixed motives. As Paul said, the important thing is that the cross of Christ is preached. Though I suspect, if our motives are not right, that our reward in heaven will be much less for our service on earth. So we all struggle with motives in whatever we do. But I think I can safely say I'm not here for my self-worth either. What should my motivation be and what should yours be for our service for Christ? And the answer, quite simply, is love. It's love. There we are. 2 weeks ago, I think it was 2 weeks ago, James preached on brotherly love that should exist between us. Do you remember the Greek word? Philadelphia. That brotherly love. We even got to taste some, didn't we? I thought it was a bit cheesy myself, but actually, I was glad the Greek word was Philadelphia, not broccoli or something like that. It could have been interesting, but these are all scripted jokes, Irene, if you're still in the room. In verse 16 of our passage here, how does the body grow? It grows itself up in love. Love is the energy of the body. Love is the purpose for the body's growth. Love is the manifestation, the expression of the body. So why do we serve? It should be because we love God and we love each other. That's the reason. And we all know if love is missing or if love dwindles, that service is a real pain in the neck, isn't it? It's hard work. It's joyless. Because it's not coming from a right source, from love. So, do you love the church? I don't mean the building. I don't mean the administrative and decision-making and organizational structures. But do you love the church here as your brothers and sisters in Christ? Because that's what we are. We are a family that meet together under a heavenly Father. Jesus is our brother. Do we love each other? If you're serving, just think, is that my motivation? If it's not, and if we can make it our motivation, it will change us, and it will change this body here. And the problem is, if it's not, we will not serve well, because We do not have enough love as human beings to serve one another well. We just don't. But if we're close to God, then we are close to the one who is described as love. And he pours that love into us that it might come out of us and through us and touch those around us. Let me just apply this a bit more closely to our church life here. First of all, I want you to hear me saying very clearly, I am not saying this morning that if you are not serving in this church, in some observable, tangible way, if your name doesn't appear on any of the couple of dozen rotas we have here, that you are therefore not serving Christ. That's not true. The mission of Christ is to reach the world. And where do we spend most of our time? We spend most of our time at work, don't we? Let's face it. And often that's one of the first places God calls us to serve. And there are people in here who have demanding roles of great responsibility and significance. We've got headmasters, we've got teachers with management responsibilities, we've got medical personnel right up to the very top, we've got scientists at the cutting edge of their field, and many other areas which are demanding, and they're full on, and they don't leave a lot of time for much else, barely enough time for family life. And so can I encourage you that to serve Christ in those areas, to serve him in the school, serve him in the hospital, serve him in the office, in the lab, wherever it is. You know, he calls us there to serve him. It could be that some find it hard to serve within the church here because you're new and you haven't found your place yet. Some face limitations due to age or infirmity, or maybe you're burnt out, or finding your place or whatever. Small children, you're serving them, basically. So I don't want anyone to accept guilt from me this morning or from others about what you are or aren't doing here. But can I say that if you have the capacity to be involved here in this expression of the body of Christ, can I encourage you to get involved? Get involved. In fact, I don't think it's an exaggeration to say that Christ commands us to do that, to be using our gifts. One of the reasons for us moving back to one service from two, and it really was just one of the reasons, it wasn't the main reason, was that we were struggling to fill our gaps in rotas, weren't we? We were struggling. And actually, I don't like that expression, filling gaps in the rotas. That's a horrible expression. That's very impersonal. Let's say we were struggling to offer the service to one another that we felt we should be. People have left here. They've gone to Barton Community Church, Northway Church at 5, Wheatley Community Church. They've left these gaps of service, of the giving of one another. And I think it can be tempting, can't it? Now we're staying at one service for a while to think, well, presumably you've got twice the people that you need now because we're one service. So, you know, I'll make a quick run for the exit or whatever. But actually, I think it's safe to say we don't have a surplus of volunteers in any area of our church ministry here. So if you have been serving on rota and you're thinking, well, am I still needed? Can I assure you people are needed? And it's important that we continue to do that steadfastly. You know, I love it when you see people who are of a certain age, but they're still ministering. Still ministering. Why? Because you could say, well, they're retired now. They don't have to do anything anymore. But they're ministering because they love it, because God's given them a gift and they want to use it practically till the day they drop. And I think that's really thrilling. So it's that word, isn't it? Steadfastness. God calls us to steadfastness. You know, we don't have to hit the headlines. We just need to serve him faithfully. It might be, thanks, Alex, next slide. It might be you're relatively new here and you're still finding that place for ministry and service. Can I encourage you, if that is you, to come and talk to James there or myself or Paul there or Cecily over there. Come and talk to us. We realize nobody comes here with a blank canvas. You've all done things somewhere else. You have experiences. You may know what your gifts are. Come and talk to us. We'd love to help you find your place in this church. And this isn't just a message for the adults. You know, we are taking steps to see our youth more involved also, because they have a lot to offer. I remember when I was a teenager, I did the chairs in church. I did the OHP every week. You remember, lovely OHPs and acetates. I helped lead the youth group. I even preached a few times. And that involvement did wonders for me as a young person. It was a blessing. And our youth will be blessed, I believe, as they serve. Can I say, if you're a new student here, do get involved. You know, there are many, many things that you could help with. Sure, you know, we're still looking to fill two large roles in this church. One is treasurer and one is chief steward. And I realize they're very specific in nature. But if you feel God's calling you to either of those, please come and tell us. And we're constantly in need of people for our children and our youth work. And then we have other areas like the Craft Cafe, where we have lots of non-Christians coming and sometimes not quite enough Christians to meet them properly. Monday nights, once a month. We've got toddlers, same position. We need more Christians Tuesday mornings. We've got Alpha. We've got the Light Bite Lunch Club. We've got Friday evening youth clubs, International English Club. There are lots, many others where we can serve. Why should we do it? Because it's God's plan for us. Alex, could you bring up the next slide, please? God's given us a role and a place. Romans 12 here, verse 6. We have different gifts according to the grace given us. If a man's gift is prophesying, let him use it in proportion to his faith. If it is serving, let him serve. If it is teaching, let him teach. If it's encouraging, let him encourage. If it's contributing to the needs of others, let him give generously. If it is leadership, let him govern diligently. If it is showing mercy, let him do it cheerfully. What could Paul possibly be showing us here? What could he be saying? I think it's fairly obvious. If you've got a gift, use it. Yeah, that's all he's saying. Use your gifts to serve Christ and through that to serve the body. Then we will mature in every respect, as the verse said, as we each do our work. There is a cost to getting involved. It will cost you time. It will cost you effort. Might even cost you a bit of money. Who knows? You may lose a bit of leisure time. You know, you may have an evening of the week that you're not free anymore. You may have to do some prep during the week or whatever. There is a cost. There's also a great blessing that comes from that. But there is a cost to not getting involved as well. The cost to not getting involved is, if you have a gift from God to do something and you don't do it, someone else will probably have to do that. Someone else will have to be, if you like, the medial collateral ligament, who can't really do that role as well as you could. It'd be hard for them, and the body will suffer as a result. If we don't use our gifts of service for one another, then the church may not be able to fulfill the calling God's placed on us, the vision he's given us. But it's not just a cost to the body, it's a cost to us individually. Because, as Jesus said, it's more blessed to give than to receive. There is huge blessing from pouring out yourself in love for others. Alex, could I have the next slide? I want to finish with some words from the previous constitution of HBC, written in 1930, okay, so 85 years ago, but these words still hold true today. Friends joining the membership of this church are earnestly reminded of the solemn responsibility involved in their union, that henceforth they are responsible in their measure for its strength or weakness, its prosperity or declining. And as I read those words again, I thought they could almost be an amplification of this verse, our final verse of our text. From him, the whole body, joined and held together by every supporting ligament, grows and builds itself up in love as each part does its work. Can we just pray for a moment? As I've said, the last intention this morning is to make anyone feel guilty. But it might just be that God's been speaking to you and reminding you of the gift you have and encouraging you to use it. Again, if you're feeling that this morning, can you make a decision to do that? Come and talk to us. Get involved. That this body may be mature.
Amen.